Hallelujah. God bless you all, brothers and sisters, as we approach the end of the topic on obtaining a good report. I would like that we examine the works that faith produces. And I would like us to have it at heart that the journey to obtaining a good report begins and ends with faith. And of course, we know that faith does not originate from us, rather it originates from God, from Christ. And scriptures could declare that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So he is the one that gives faith, it does not originate from us. And this basically means that no man can please God except in Christ. It was in Christ that God was well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For it pleases the Father that in him should dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's only in Christ that God is pleased. So everyone that we read of, every of the elders, every of our ancestors, that's Hebrews chapter 11 declared and said that they pleased God and obtained good reports. It shows that these men haven't seen the revelation of Christ. They were connected to Christ, even though they could not partake of that which was promised. They saw it from afar off, and the Bible made us to understand that they embraced it and confessed that they were pilgrims because they saw Christ. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible made us to understand that these men of old, who were prophets, they prophesied concerning the salvation that was to come to us and searched diligently. So they couldn't have prophesied of salvation without knowing the masterpiece, which is Christ. So they saw it afar off. They knew it. And that's why they were able to please God. God was pleased with them. Every year of their testimony was rooted in Christ. Same as we today, our testimony must be linked to Christ, must be rooted in Christ. It is only in Christ that man and God share similar interests, not anywhere else. So as we approach the works, there's something I want us to understand as we read yesterday, concerning the work that God has for every man in Mark chapter 13 from verse 33. It says that here in Mark 13:33, take heed, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even at night, midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say unto all, watch. So here, Jesus was emphasizing on the fact that he has given every man his work. So there is work for every one of us. Whether you are a brother, you are a sister, you have a work to do in Christ. And he doesn't expect that when he returns, he finds us sleeping. No, instead, we ought to be working. And thankfully, he has provided enough light for us to accomplish every task. He has given us enough light to accomplish those works. Even though we are in the night time, we walk as though it is day. True, because we are children of the light, children of the day, and we have access to sufficient light. You know, in the night, it's when men go to sleep. And why they cannot walk in the night? Jesus said, I will walk the walk of God while it is day, for the night cometh when no man will walk. While men will not be able to walk, the children of darkness cannot walk in darkness because they will grow. It's frustrating. They cannot see. So instead, they save their energy for sleep. I'm speaking in shadows now. What I'm trying to say is that these men, they do not see the light of God and they cannot do the work of God. So for us, that God has given us enough light, we are not He's not expecting that we should use the light and go to sleep. It is expected that we work. That's why the light is made available. However, the work that we are called to do is not ours. It's God's work. So God is working in Christ. So it's not our work. It is inconceivable for a man, like a mortal, to attempt to do the work of God. It's not just possible. You know, Paul he reminded us in his second episode to the Corinthians. If we can see 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll read from verse 2. Here are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, take note of that, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Yes, another one there. Now, in verse 4, he said, as such, trust we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So, Paul is saying that he's not coming to present letters to the people, to the church, but is coming by the Spirit of God. And this is what I believe he was referring to, Exodus chapter 24, verse 7, when the minister of the old covenant, when he came to the children of Israel, he read the commandment of God to them, and they responded to that reading. And here is it in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. Exodus 24. I was in Genesis rather. So let me go to Exodus 24, verse 7. It says here that, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient. So we see that they themselves, as humans, they received the word of God that was read to them. It was read in letters. And they said, they confessed, they vowed that they will do what God had said. They promised. How could they promise? How could they think to vow that they will perform God's will, God's plan, without the Spirit of God in them? So these men, they tried to do the impossible, and that's why Paul said that when he is coming, he's not coming to us with words, enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit of God. So this meant they tried to, you know, use their effort to perform God's will, and it didn't turn out well. They failed, and that's why they continually broke the commandments of God. But today God is bringing us to do his work, to perform his work by his Spirit. Amen. And that's why it begins and ends with faith. So If I will go to our text today, I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Note that, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not of works. So Paul quickly identified that we do not have an effort in our salvation. It is totally God's work. It's exclusively his work, not ours. So God in creation, it was God's work. In salvation, it was God's work. In redemption, it's still God's work. Even in the reconciliation, that the ministry that God has left on earth, the ministry of reconciliation, is still the work of God. It is not our effort. So God and Paul made us understand that specifically. Then verse 10, he says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are God's work, but he had already from the foundation of the world appointed us to perform good works. We have the mandate to carry out good works, but we cannot do it without his spirit. So I would like to read John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6, verse 28. It says here, Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom God hath sent." So the work, it is the work of God. And they wanted to do God's work without identifying with the centerpiece of God's work. And Jesus told them, the first step to doing the work of God is to believe in whom God has sent to do the work. God has only given the mandate to Christ to do his work. That's why he said, "My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk," in John chapter 5, verse 17. And he said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." So it is him that the Father has sent, that God has sent to accomplish the work, and he has distributed this task to those whom he has given the same spirit of the Father to. So if we must do the work of God, we must do it in Christ. So, and that's why he could say in his parable, he said, "Occupy till I come." So it means stay in my place, in my stead, do trade in my stead until I come. Get the result until I come. So we cannot do the work of God without the Spirit of God, without believing. So the first thing is to believe. But after we have believed, what next? What next? And I will leave us with this scripture that we will use in concluding the topic in obtaining good reports. And that is Matthew chapter, let me rather read John chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. John chapter 14, verse 10. It says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. For or else believe for the well, very works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So when we believe, our faith, our belief will produce the work. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen.